Hey, queer friends, are you ready to be inspired? Welcome to Season 5 of Coming Out and Beyond, a podcast that shares stories from the LGBTQIA+ community. Here's your host, Anne-Marie Zanzel.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie Zanzel, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of Coming Out and Beyond LGBTQ Stories. I am so excited to welcome to the show today a very special guest. Her name is Tonda McKay. Tonda McKay earned her bachelor's degree in photography at Middle Tennessee State University and has been a professional corporate photographer for over 35 years. She worked for several Fortune 500 companies, including Philips Magnavox and DESA LLC. While working at Philips, she received two Addy Awards, which recognize and rewards the creative spirit of excellence in the art of advertising. In 2001, her coffee table book, A City in Harmony on Nashville, was published. This was a two-year collaborative project with the Nashville Chamber of Commerce. Tonda also won several national magazine awards, including Best Cover National Magazine Association for her editorial work on Business Nashville and Nashville Lifestyle. While architectural photography and drone photography is her niche now, Tonda has worked in every imaginable area of photography, from jewelry, furniture, editorial, and photojournalism. Tonda likes to say there isn't anything she hasn't done in photography, and she still enjoys learning new processes and information. She has gone from shooting on an 8x10 view camera to HDR digital photography. She believes photography is ever-changing and is always a journey of learning and growth. When not photographing, Tonda enjoys kayaking, travel, and of course, scenic photography. Hi, Tonda. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
So for those of you who don't know, Tonda McKay is also my wife, and we have been married for the last 2.5 years, and we've been together since 2017, in January of 2017. And I have wanted to have Tonda on the show for a very long time, because we're actually going to dive into what it's like for somebody who's been out in the community for a long time to date a newbie. So before getting to that, I would like to ask Tonda what I ask all my guests. Tonda, tell me your story.
Well, I grew up spending summers in East Tennessee with my family, with my father and my stepmother. We went to church a lot. They were very religious. I was mostly in Nashville. I always wanted to be a photographer. So the closest college with the best photography department was MTSU here in Middle Tennessee. So I went to MTSU, and being the good little Southern Baptist that I am, the first week
that you were,
that I was, I went to the Baptist Student Union the first week. They were having a welcoming party or whatever, and they told us to meet someone and have a prayer partner. And so I did. I met someone who became my prayer partner. And over the course of a few months, became more than my prayer partner.
What did she become, Tonda?
She became my first lover, either male or female.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had never had any experience at all. I'd read the daily devotional at my high school, so that kind of
cut your chances down.
I wasn't really asked out a lot.
No. It's like, oh, she's a good Baptist girl. I'm not going to get very far with her.
And so I mean, it would take a whole podcast to talk about the trauma and turmoil that I went through with that. It was very, very difficult for a long time. And we sort of We had no idea what we were doing or that we could even be together or that. I just felt like I was just, no matter what I did, I was just going to shoot straight to hell. And she was my best friend, so we didn't want to not see each other. But then the closeness of us seeing each other, you know, it was like an on and off again thing. And then in what is not really how I normally work, but I was so young and stupid, I met a guy who asked me out and I was excited about it. And I came back and I told my partner at the time, I was like, I don't want to say her name because I did that several years after we were out of college and I outed her.
By accident.
By accident. Complete by accident. Didn't mean to. But anyway, so I was like, oh, we don't, you know, it's okay. A guy asked me out and we don't have to sleep together. I was 18. Just want to put that out there.
All right. So that sounds like it's pretty normal for people when they are first discovering their sexual orientation, that oftentimes they go back and forth between men and women before they feel comfortable, especially for women, I think much more so than men. So like when you first slept with your prayer partner, like you have told this story about like you just couldn't believe that happened. And so do you want to share about like that walk across the campus?
Well, we didn't really sleep together. I was crying about some drama in my, at home. I was sort of raised in a dysfunctional home, and we just were in the dorm room, and I don't know why, but she didn't have someone there. So we were there alone, and we just sort of held each other all night in like way, probably around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we kissed each other. We just kissed each other. And it was like lightning or something. And it was exciting at the time. But then when I got up to walk across campus, I really felt like I was looking at myself from another perspective. I went home and I took a shower at the dorm room, and I just felt like I was looking at myself from up, looking down. And I just felt completely out of my body. Like, you know, unfortunately, I felt like I had, you know, woke up and there was a dead body next to me, sort of the same, like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And it was just a kiss, you know, but the Pandora's box, as you like to say, that it opened up.
It did open up. So you dated your prayer partner for about a year or so, and then you dated a boy for a couple of years. And then after that, you decided that dating men wasn't for you. And you're about 20, 21.
Right.
And you started dating women exclusively at that time.
It doesn't mean it fogged up.
Yeah. So when did, like, and I know you've spoken about your prayer partner and how like isolated you feel. I think a lot of queer couples, whether they come out when they're 18 or when they discover each other post 30, post marriage and children, they often feel very, very isolated and alone.
Thought we were the only lesbians
at MTSU. And apparently they were just the floor up, because the floor above Tonda, where she stayed in the dorm, was known as Lesbian Alley or something like that. She goes, if I just went up one floor. So I've heard all her stories. We've been together for a while. So what changed things for you? What happened like that really made you realize, oh, there's other people like me?
Oh, you want me to tell that story?
The softball story. Yeah.
So when I was 23, I'd been in a relationship, and that person left. And so I was out of college, living on my own, just really lonely, because she and I had been insulated. We'd been together like 3 years and we had been insulated as well. And we had two lesbian friends and she got those in the breakup. And so I started going to church. I don't know if it was UCC. It was one of a very liberal church. And I heard them talking about softball. They had a softball team. And this was, I was, like I said, only 23. So they had a fall softball league. And so I went to this softball game and I was just so happy to just be around people and be playing softball, which I loved.
It's a gateway sport.
It is a gateway sport.
To being a lesbian.
And so we were walking back to the car and it was about five or six of us. And I didn't really know anything about any of the women. And one of them said, "Hey, did you see that girl slide into you on second base?" And the other one's like, "Yeah, you fell on her. We thought we were going to have to give you a room." Or, I mean, they just started obviously joking about being lesbians. And I was like, I'm around all lesbians. Like, I'm like, every one of them was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so I went on to hang out with them. They were just sort of my group after that. And from there, my world expanded a mm-hmm. lot more. But mm-hmm. it was such a revelation. It was so exciting.
So you weren't outed yet. You weren't outed until after that. Mm-hmm. And you were outed by a friend of your mom's to her. And so what happened to you with your family when you got outed?
So, are you in the process of coming out later in life? Are you feeling isolated or lost, cut off from friends and family, or just trying to figure out what is the next step for you? Well, I have a wonderful coaching program called Lotus Group Coaching. It is for people who are female identifying, cis or trans, or non-binary folks comfortable in those spaces. And we provide emotional, spiritual, and intellectual support for people who are in the process of coming out later in life. We discuss many things in our community, but what's most important is that you have a community of others who understand. Each one of the coaches in the program have come out later in life. And everybody who is a member of our program is somewhere in the process. So if you are seeking community and you want a soft place to land, go to my website, amoryzanzel.com, and book a connection call. We would love to talk to you.
Well, my mother and I had a really bad incident in which she said that I was dead to her. And my father, we didn't have a blow up. My father wanted me to come and live there. That was weird. I was like 24 years old.
He was going to,
you know,
set you straight.
I don't know what he was going to do. But anyway, he didn't stop talking to me till it was just like a slow decline, years and years of just me coming into myself, just becoming more and more unable to be apologetic for who I was when I was around him. Mm-hmm. So this was back in the 80s. So, mm-hmm. So I went through a very difficult time then too. I was with a partner then that we weren't really madly in love with each other. She had been through a breakup. We worked together and she was like, here's a very nice lesbian. I'm just going to pick her. And she just sort of took care of me for a while. Mm-hmm. And we weren't in, I don't think we were ever just like, really in love.
Mm-hmm. So, like a lot
And
of.
she had been a lesbian for a long time since she was in high school. Her first girlfriend was,
Wow, so
and
she
so
was pretty brave,
she knew a bunch of people.
which was nice, which helped you form community. Okay, so we're gonna fast forward, because we would be here for like 3 hours listening to my wife's love life. But like a lot of women of her generation, a lot of times they've had multiple partners. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But some of the major ones is that a lot of times lesbians don't get support for their relationships, even now. So when they run into trouble, they don't get a lot of family support or friend support. Also, too, a lot of times women move in very quickly together because of financial reasons. There's actual social implications of being U-Haul lesbians. So there's a lot of reasons why women of Tonda's generation has had 3 or 4 partners. And so she was just going through the breakup with her longtime partner, and they'd been together for about 15 years when we met. So I was in the process of coming out
I
later of
was in
life.
my early 50s
We were
then.
both in our early
Yeah.
50s then, and
I thought I was done. I was just done.
you were done with women, and now look, you're married. So we want to talk about in this podcast. So you got a little bit of my wife's background, and so we met each other on a Facebook group that used to exist called Lily. It doesn't exist anymore, and I joined it. As somebody coming out later in life, I was had been, as a lot of you know, I've been married, was married for 27 years to a man, and I have 4 kids. Tonda joined the group because she was friends with the person that started the group. And when the group started, Andrea was looking for some people who've been out for a while just to really talk about lesbian culture, lesbian, like,
Well, there wasn't many people in that group then, too.
Yeah, and like time to join the group when it was at like 50 people or something like that. And so she was like, yeah, I'll join. Who knows? Maybe I'll meet somebody. She goes, I can give some advice and support. And reading her earlier posts, because I came in probably a couple months after her, I also saw that she sought support too, because she was going through a really bad breakup and heartbroken. So we would like to tell a little bit of the story of how we met, and then we're going to talk about her, what it was like to date somebody just coming out. So, how we met is, so I want to give a little backstory. I was seeing a therapist at the time because I was just coming out, and my therapist asked me, Emery, as you move forward in this journey, what type of woman are you looking for? And like, it was the first time anyone had asked me that question, and I said, well, I think I want somebody that's been out forever because I haven't been. I said, there's a lot I don't know about the queer community. And I really want to be with somebody who sort of understands what the queer community is like. And then I said, I'd like somebody with no kids because I have 4 and that's a lot. And I really, really just didn't have the energy to combine families at that point. And third, I said, I want somebody who understands religion because I, at that time, I was a working minister. And I said, I want somebody who at least gets it, but and has respect for what I do. And I swear to God, 3 days later, Tonda messaged me for the first time. Take it away.
Well, I mean, I was
We had not contacted or talked to each other prior to this.
right. And I had been in the group about a year. I wasn't really looking to meet people in the group. I was just very sincerely there, but I don't know why, but Anne Marie Zanzel is a pretty unique name, and she said something, and I was like, "Who is that?" Because I think she had said something before. Anyway,
I know what it was. You were planning the so this is the irony thing. So they were having a meetup for the first time, this group. They had all been talking for a while, and so they were going to have it in Nashville, Tennessee. Tonda's from Nashville, Tennessee, and she volunteered to find some Airbnbs for people to stay at, which is hysterical because if anybody knows my wife, That is the least likely thing.
Organization
is not.
Entertainment is more.
Yeah, that's where you are. So anyway, I responded. Time to put something up. Like,
well, because in Nashville, a lot of the Airbnbs have twin beds, and I'm like, you might have to stay in a room with a twin bed.
And so I said, well, you can put me anywhere. I didn't care. And I want to just put a caveat to that because I didn't even know if I was going to go at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like 3 months away. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be doing this gay thing in 3 months. So yeah, just put me anywhere. I don't care because I didn't want to let anybody down.
Yeah.
So then Tonda looks me up.
So I look her profile up, and because I just thought she was beautiful. And then I look her profile up, and she had 4 beautiful children, which I didn't really realize what all that meant.
I had 4 beautiful luxury Louis Vuitton bags. I love them very much. We both love them very much.
She went to Yale, and she was a minister, and so... I just couldn't.
You were intrigued.
Yes. I couldn't stop thinking about you, even though there's no way in the world. I'm like, this is so crazy. There's no way in the world, you know, that I'll ever even meet her. But do you want me to tell the other part?
Yes. I think everybody would get a laugh out of that one.
So anyway, I, as Anne-Marie said, I knew the person who started the group. And I just messaged her before I ever talked to Anne-Marie. And I said, Anne-Marie said I could put her anywhere. Can I put her in my bed?
And she did. So.
And she goes, y'all are going to have to work that out.
And we did. So anyway, so like a lot of lesbian relationships started online. We met online. I actually unfriended Tonda at one point. She had no idea. And we started texting. And soon after we started texting each other. And then really just very friendly texts. Like
we were talking about the Bible at first.
Yeah,
really.
Like once a week. And that actually, Tonda's knowledge of just about religion and scripture actually impressed me because it was beyond, you know, the surface knowledge that some people have. And she had a much deeper knowledge. So I was like, this is interesting.
Good little Southern Baptist.
Yeah. So anyway, so I went to one of my very first meetups as somebody who was just coming out, and I went to New York City with a bunch of other women. And when I was coming home on the train, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And so if you're somebody who's at that point, I get it. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can come out. I just don't know if I can do this. And so Tonda and I started texting. I think I texted her probably. And she said, do you want to call? Now, the funny thing is she had been asking me like 3 or 4 weeks to call her, and I kept saying no. And so I said, okay. And so when I got off the train, I dialed her phone number, and I remember very distinctly saying, if I push this button, it is going to change everything. And I pushed the button, and it did. The funny thing is that she answered the phone, and she had this incredible Southern accent, and I wasn't expecting that. And she also realized that I was much more frightened than I appeared in text.
Yes, it's like, oh, my husband and I are friends. It's all cool, you know.
And also, to be very clear, my ex-husband and I were at the process of getting divorced. I mean, we were just separating. So, you know, like I met Tonda after we had actually physically separated for the first time. So anyway, then we started texting that week a little bit more frequently. And one day we started flirting, and that was it. And within like 3 or 4 weeks, we met each other for the first time and in person. And we have a long distance relationship. We did that for 18 months.
Very long distance.
1,500 miles. It was she was in Nashville. I was in Connecticut. It was long. Mm-hmm. And then Tonda was with me when I began the process of a very painful and difficult divorce, as well as still questioning my sexuality. As well as, you know, having, you know, not really sure if I wanted to be in a relationship or not. And so it was hard. It was really hard for both of us. So Tonda was a long-term out lesbian. She'd been out for 30 years at that point, and also never really dated. I mean, she had a couple of dates with women with children, but never really dated somebody with children. Mm-hmm. So, man, was she in for a surprise. So what do you want to say?
Well, I need for you to leave the room.
Okay. Now, we've been married now for 2 years. I know what she's going to say, but go ahead.
Well, for the first, so it was wonderful. Our connection, our physical, emotional, and spiritual connection was overwhelming.
Over the top for both of us. Because we're going to be really honest here. Both of us had no intention of having a relationship together. We thought we were going to meet, maybe have a nice weekend, have a little fun.
I just wanted to meet her one time.
Yeah, we didn't have any intention of having a relationship beyond just a very casual one.
But when you talk for hours and hours and hours, and you just...
And then you
can't stop thinking about
something. And then we spent 4 days together the first time we were together. It is such a lesbian date. Like, you have no idea. And we had...
Tell them the joke that I was... Well, she was still talking to her husband about things she was going through, and what she realizes was probably a mistake now, but she told her husband that she was going to meet someone, and it was going to be in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. And he goes, well, you don't know anything about her. She might tie you up and leave you. And I said, honey, if I tie you up, I'm not going to leave you. That would be crazy.
Anyway, so I was a newbie, she was an old time dyke, and we started dating, and we had to get over a lot of hurdles. And let's talk about some of them.
Well, you have this rush, this excitement about being in a relationship. I mean, I hadn't been in a relationship in like 16, 17 years, because I'd been...
You'd been with your partner for 15 of those years.
A new relationship,
yeah.
Yeah. Trust me, being with some 15 years is not the same
as being somebody, and the newness of it all.
And I thought that I wasn't going to experience that again. And so you have this joy, this elation from meeting this person. And at the same time, this person is going through something that is devastating to them. And you try to be there for them. But like even Anne Marie said, that it was like 6 months before she realized that.
Nine
months before she realized that, oh, I was in the equation too.
Well, and also that we were in a long distance relationship, because our relationship had always been long distance, and I never really thought about it too much.
And so we would be, it was really difficult. We would be walking along. It would be a beautiful night. I'd be so excited to be with her. And she would just start crying about just, you know,
whatever.
And not gonna lie, I had a lot of patience, and then it was hard. And I was like, do I really want to do this? Do I really, just like, she didn't know if she wanted to be with me. I was like, what am I doing? I'm driving up to Connecticut. She's crying a lot. We have a wonderful time. And at the time, the children were not excited about any of it.
Yeah. And my kids were older when I came out. My youngest was 12, and he actually was the best out of all of them because he had to go through everything. But my older children really struggled. So my bookends, my youngest and my oldest, did the best with everything, but my middles really struggled with all the change. But they also were not there. So Tonda and I were in Connecticut, where my youngest was, and he was, he saw us a lot. He saw us as a couple. He saw how much Tonda made me happy. She was really kind to him. And so
this was after the very initial, I remember we were having a conversation and I was going to come up to see her, and she said, well, and at the time, he didn't want to see me. Like he literally didn't want to come over to her. Or he was just 13, you know. He was a baby. And so I was going to drive up there. She goes, well, he's coming over in a couple of days, you know. She basically said, can you leave? And I was like, how is this going to work if I can't be around your child? You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like I could, over the phone, I could hear a light bulb going off in her head, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that time was when you're like, you are going to meet.
No, we didn't meet him until August. Okay. I'm not sure what happened. But one of the things is that Tonda has said is that it took her a long time to realize that the grief I was feeling and the crying and like was because that I was ending, my life had totally 1000% changed. And I don't think she realized how much it changed at that point. But it took her a long time to separate my grief from my relationship with my ex-husband.
I'm going to say I did realize it, but I'm going to be super honest here for the people who are listening. Even if you realize something, that doesn't mean it's not still hard to deal with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? She didn't realize, I mean, like, so she had to deal with the fact that I was still grieving my marriage. I mean, at that point, it wasn't that just because you grieve something doesn't mean you want it back, but I was grieving my marriage, and it was really hard, I think, at times for Tonda to separate the grief over the loss of the end of my marriage and what I felt about my ex-husband. So it took her a real long time to understand that I was grieving that just my life had changed so much. And I really wasn't grieving him as a person. I was grieving what the losses associated with ending a long-term marriage.
And it took Anne Marie a little while to realize that while we were friends, that some things that she would talk to her best friend mm-hmm. about, her ex-husband about, was hurtful to talk to me about. And she was like, I don't need to talk to you about this. And eventually I was like, no, you don't need to talk to me about this.
Yeah. That's really was a big learning experience for me, because I realized that, you know, when we're coming out later in life, we're used to having women as friends, and we're used to telling our girlfriends, I'm using air quotes here, about all the ins and outs of our relationships with our spouses and our children and stuff like that. And one of the things that it took me a while to realize is that Tonda was my friend, sure, but she was also my lover. And she was my girlfriend. And so one of the things that I always speak about is that I always say to the women I work with is that if this was a boyfriend, sometimes it takes us a long time to like switch our brains around. If this was a boyfriend, would you share this information with him about either your ex-husband or your children? And so it took me a while not to share everything that was on my mind with her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And me, you know, trying to be there for her, it took me a while to realize that I had to protect myself too, mm-hmm. because that hurt sort of turns into anger. And I, you know, having read the websites and stuff, I can see that, you know, you are, let me just say this, if you are the longtime lesbian that is going into this situation, you're going into a situation where the family unit has been together forever. Every single thing in society is
wrapped around
the family unit, and you are just over here.
Right. Right.
And I remember it was just, I was like, what am I doing here? Sometimes, I mean, now let me just say that most of the time when we were together, it was so joyous and wonderful, you know, and we had to let the luster of the first of the relationship come off for us to, it's my brother likes to say, he's like, you send your representative to someone when you first meet them, and it's takes a while for you to see the real person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while for me to just not be Southern and try to be there for her, but to say, look, this hurts when you say this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was, so, you know, here I was, there was a lot of inequities, you know, there. And so because I had come through such a heartbreak before, I was just in the mode of, you know, I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to have as much joy as I can. I don't know what's going to happen. And that got me personally. I don't know about her, but it got me through a lot of times when we would be, I guess, off kilter. But I was like, I'm going to just love her. And then when I go home, I'm going to think about it, you know, and then it would be wonderful again when I went home and we were talking to each other for hours. But it is a very difficult situation to be in. And as a longtime lesbian, you are used to in being in a situation where everybody that I was around was lesbians, and there wasn't a hierarchy of, oh, well, you're with a guy that's, you know, you're married to a man that's more important than, you know, you dating this woman or whatever.
You know, if somebody, like both of us talk about, like, would we date someone just coming out? And we both recognize how hard it was. And it was really hard. Like, you know, I just want to say that when we were going through it, it's not like I thought it was hard all the time. This is more like in reflection and, you know, looking back at our early parts of our relationship, because I don't think we really became really committed until I moved down here about 18 months into our relationship. And then things changed. And
well,
I was. I know, but Yatanda was always at a different place than me.
Because I was always one step ahead.
She was always one step ahead of me, but because I was going through a lot at the time, and we both reflect on now, like, on how much I was going through and like how crazy some of the things that we had to go through together. I'm very grateful to have had her coming out. I also did all the things that most newly out people do. I was like, should I break up with her so I can sleep with a bunch of other women? I mean, that was one of the things I thought of. And she was everybody was saying it to me. Mm-hmm. The queer people were saying to me, the straight people were saying to me, people were all saying, well, don't you want to go with a bunch of other women? And, you know, I really thought about it for a little while, you know, probably 3 or 4 months. But the thing is what I came down to is when I was young, I slept with a bunch of men, you know, it with no emotional connection to them, and it sucked. And I literally didn't want to do that again. And I also knew that I found somebody, the more I got to be in the community and the more that I looked around, I realized I found somebody really, really special. This was just my first girlfriend. I had no idea. And so I was also a lot of times suspicious of her because it's hard for me to trust sometimes. And so a lot of the things that she told me in the beginning turned out to be true. And I didn't, you know, but I had to see it for myself.
And I thought, you know, well, if she does, you know, break up and date a bunch of other people, she might find somebody, but, there's a lot of trauma out there. I mean, I knew what we had was not just something that you can go out there and find.
I did not know that.
and you have a lot of, I'm not going to say crazy because she won't like that, but there's a lot of traumatized women, and especially if you're in your late 50s and someone is single, you need to catch them when somebody's left them, their partner has died, because if they've been single their whole life,
there's something to worry about. Yeah. So one of the things I realized, even though people were like telling me to break up and not, you know, you got to be with other people, even my children were telling me to go out and date other people. I knew I had something good. And a lot of times when women are just coming out, it is so hard. And sometimes even traumatic. And often the first thing to go when that happens is the last person to arrive. So a lot of times people will break up with somebody who's actually pretty kind and wonderful and really fits their needs. And because they're having, drama with their children, drama with their ex-husband, with their parents, with their family, with their friends, the first thing to go is the person that last arrived, which is often the girlfriend. And so I did not make that mistake, but I did contemplate it. And that's really, really normal when you're coming out. And, you know, for you, you might be like, hell no, I'm going to sleep with a bunch of ladies. And I'm like, go for it. You go do you. That's okay. This was my journey of making decisions that were best for me. And I knew what was best for me. I didn't really want to have a bunch of meaningless sex. And also not for nothing, but my wife and I had a great sex life from the second we met. And so I'm like, I'm not giving that up just for maybe some other sex with somebody else. No way. So what would your advice be, Tonda, for someone who's been out in the community forever and either they're contemplating dating someone that has just come out or they're in the midst of a relationship with somebody who is just coming out? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, what is that quote? Buckle up, buttercup. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
But I love your honesty. Yeah, it is going to be a bumpy ride. And we're not trying to scare you.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of the situation. It is a bumpy ride for most people.
But what is most important is, part of it, nothing is one person's fault. Part of it was me not drawing good boundaries. I don't want to drive all the way up here and have you tell me about your ex-husband, in glowing terms. And
did I ever talk about him in glowing terms? I don't remember that.
We don't want to go there. Yes. You said a couple times you shouldn't have left, just in the midst of your grief. This was very, very early on.
For 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that you have to realize, this would have never worked if I was younger, because I would just I can't deal with this or whatever. But being older, I'm like, if this doesn't work out, we've had this wonderful weekend in Provincetown that I'll never forget, or we've had this wonderful weekend, or I have this wonderful person in my life. And that's really where you need to be if you're have been a long time lesbian and you are trying to date someone who is just coming out.
I think we've talked before and you've also said that not to take everything personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like your partner's, your new girlfriend's grief around the end of her marriage or her children or something like that, it has really nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Tonda a little bit of time to realize that everything is not personal. And I agree with you, setting good boundaries about what you want to talk about. And if your girlfriend starts talking about her family and children, maybe saying gently, I know you think of me as a dear friend, but a lot of this is hard for me to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I really prefer that you talk to somebody else about this besides me.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times people who've been out in the community have such compassion for people who are just coming out at mm-hmm. 40, 50, 60, that they want to be really supportive and kind and loving. But, sometimes you also have to take care of yourself and also I would say if there's a lot of back and forth, like your partner is going back to her husband, coming back to you, going back to her husband. I think that never happened with us. Mm-hmm. Tonda and I never broke up. I mean, we had some times where I think it came close, but I don't mm-hmm. think either one of us, we've talked about it since then. The other person, it was just was in our heads. Mm-hmm. We never talked about it. But, if you keep breaking up, getting back together, I think that may be time to call it quits if you're somebody who's been out for a long time. What are some of the other pieces of advice would you give people? And if you're new to the community and your girlfriend is abusive or cruel or breaks up with you 100 times, even though you may love her, she is not the right person for you because you don't deserve that. You deserve to be fully loved for who you are.
If your girlfriend does, I mean, for me, she was in a marriage. I never thought, first of all, I'm not a gold star.
No, so she's a silver star.
But I never thought that, oh, I've been out forever. You know, I just feel like I was more of a native than she was to the landscape, you know, and
you were more a native to the landscape.
Yeah. So if your girlfriend gives you a hard time about having been with a man, then
that's something to be concerned. That's a red flag.
That's a red flag that's like the size of a tree. You know? And also conversely, if you've been with a lot of especially in the South, or in any where you've been in any red state, I will say, if you're the person who is coming out, who's just coming out, gives you a hard time about having been in several relationships, then that's a red flag because they didn't have to live through, you know, like I hadn't been married for 27 years because I wasn't allowed to get married.
Right.
You know,
right. You would have been married sure, as a younger lesbian, mm-hmm. if you had the opportunity to. So, Tonda, I'm going to end the show today with how I end all the shows. And I don't think I know the answer to this. What is your coming out song?
I don't know that I had a coming out song.
Oh, no, you have to find one.
but I will tell you this, that when I heard Mary Lambert's song, what is that song?
She Keeps You Warm.
She Keeps Me Warm. The first time I heard that, I was like deep in my 40s. And I started crying because I thought, my God, I wish I'd had this song in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, Halsey, when I heard her song, which is, I mean, it like struck me when she was singing about having been with a woman, having been with a man. It was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know,
as somebody who's new, you know, I consider myself the class of 2016. So I'm sort of used to all this stuff. One of my delights is watching my wife be amazed at like some of the language that comes out in songs these days and how delighted she is, you know, to hear Halsey sing the songs and so many of the other songs, which, you know, the newer artists are getting bolder and bolder and the things they say, like Tonda's like 40 years ago, you couldn't have said that on a song.
And like, you know, obviously I was
Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girls. Melissa Etheridge lived in Nashville for a while with somebody that I knew and would come back and that person would be like, Melissa's coming, I'm having a party for her. And I stupidly was like, I don't know Melissa. Why would we go to a party for her?
So did you have a book that you really changed your life?
I brought it in here. This is Another Mother Tongue by Judy Gron. And
you read it when you were in your 20s, right? The first time, or 30s?
Late 20s, early 30s. And it, she was kicked out of the army for being gay. And it just talks about, it talks about a lot of things in our culture, where the terms come from, where the term dyke comes from, where the term, you know, where all these terms come from, and gives us a little bit of our history. Because a lot of times when you come out, you don't know your history. And that's one thing that I still forget about Anne Marie, because we're, you know,
we're the same age.
We're the same age, but she'll,
I won't know history. For example, really quickly, because we got to end this podcast, but we've been really into the NCAA tournament and Nancy Lieberman, right?
Well, that's the tennis. Yeah.
Yeah. But she was at the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And Tonda said something about her. And I'm like, who's that? And so if you don't know who she is, she was Martina Navratilova. Go look it up. We're not going to tell you. But she's like, ah, I forget that you don't know all this stuff. Like, as somebody, as an out lesbian back in the late, in the early 80s, I would have known this. I knew about Martina Navratilova and stuff like that, being queer, but I didn't know all her girlfriends, but Tonda does.
Well, she was, if you want to get angry about something, read Nancy Lieberman, what she says about trying to make Martina Navratilova not gay.
To deny her lesbianism. Okay. So Tonda, how would you describe your life today?
Wonderful.
Yeah. I love you.
I love you.
Anything else you want to add to that?
Just that it's a journey, and the older you get, the more you realize that it doesn't matter what people say or what they think. There's absolutely nothing wrong with loving who you want to love. I have been through so much where you couldn't even say to one another, where you couldn't even, like, if you met one of your friends on the street, you wouldn't even say, hey, how's your wife? Because you wouldn't want to out them in front of anybody, you know? And as hard as it seems like right now, you just don't worry about it, because you just, you know, love really does win eventually.
Well, and I want to say that I have told Tonda this, and talking to some of my groups as well, is that my whole life before I came out and I met my wife, I always felt like restless, this incredible restlessness that I just couldn't explain. And I tried to quell it in various ways, and mostly by getting education and doing all kinds of things. And when I came out, that restlessness went away. And one of the things I experience now is contentment. And because I'm very content with my life, I don't want to change anything. I'm in love with my wife. We've been together now, over seven years now, which it sort of surprises us when a picture comes up and on Facebook, 7 years ago. I was a lot skinnier then. But
yeah, picture came up.
I know. Yeah, we were both a lot skinnier then. We're fat and happy now. So I want to thank you, Tonda, for coming on the show today and talking about, you know, how challenging it is for people that have come out. You know, if your partner or your girlfriend came out in the 80s or even the 90s and or even the early 2000s, things were different then and often a lot harder. I really like to thank you for coming on and talking about that, but also sharing your wisdom on what it's like to be somebody who was dating somebody who was a newbie and we're both the same age in our early 50s and like trying to figure it out.
I had no idea what I was getting into.
And I had neither one of us had anything.
It's like, oh, she's got four children.
And now you love them all.
I do love them all.
She really does. But it's been hard. But it's also been amazing and wonderful. And there's a reason why we're still together. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for listening to the show today. Check the liner notes. We will give you all the notes for what Tonda likes, including another mother tongue. And also a link to her website. She's a fabulous photographer. And we'll see you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Coming Out and Beyond, LGBTQIA+ Stories with Anne-Marie Zanzel. New episodes of the Coming Out and Beyond podcast drop every other Friday. You can tune in at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and at annemariezanzel.com. Be sure to hit subscribe when tuning in so you never miss an episode. And for more resources, articles, videos, and a free downloadable guide for coming out later in life, visit annemariezanzel.com.